If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Everyone, I'm Brenda Ward.
And I'm Barbara Buffing.
And we are
the B&B
of ConservativeNationRadio.org. And you're listening to Women Patriots. And tonight we have several things on agenda. We're going to be talking, first of all, about Benghazi, because I've got something to say, and I know Barbara's got something to say. And then we're going to have a special guest in the second hour, Publius Haldaugh, who is a constitutional expert, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about the unconstitutionality of the supposed recess appointments of the Obama administration. And anything else you would like to talk about, our call-in number is 1-718-305-7176. Feel free to call in and join the discussion at any time. I'm going to start tonight because this Benghazi thing, I listened to Hillary Clinton testifying the other day and just lying through her teeth. She's either lying through her teeth or she's the most incompetent Secretary of State we've ever had, because it was gross failure on parts of the State Department, and she heads that department. Now, you can't tell me that her very, very close friend, Chris Stevens, and she did not communicate about the security in Benghazi. Because if you have a very close friend, I'm sure he was on the phone with her. But I digress. My question tonight is, did the Secretary of State, President Obama, willfully, with the intent to deceive the American people in an attempted cover-up, create open-armed rebellions in over 50 countries against American interest? That is the question to which we, the people, deserve an answer. As we all know, on September 11, 2012, a coordinated attack occurred at the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, that resulted in the death of Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. Supposedly, we knew nothing about these attacks that happened, and supposedly these were all due to an obscure YouTube video. However, as they went through and they were looking back at the reports, we find that on September 9th, Department of Homeland Security received communication that said, this is from the Islamic radicals, "The time has come for a strong movement for you, O sons of Egypt, to release the detained sheikh. Let your slogan be, no to the American embassy in Egypt until our detained sheikh is released. Starting now, let the faithful among you form follow-up committees in charge of taking the necessary measures to force America to release the sheikh, even if it requires burning the embassy down with everyone in it." Now, that was 2 days before September 11th. That is not the only report leaking out that they knew about this beforehand, because the brother of al-Awlaki was also actually seen in the streets of Egypt protesting. And in the streets of Egypt, they were yelling, "Osama or Obama, Obama, we are Osama." So this was not a protest about a video in Egypt. Okay, was not related to the video in any sort of way, except for that al-Awlaki's brother used it to get more people out to the embassy that day in Egypt. They knew it was coming. Our embassy posted hours before it ever came, "Oh, we're sorry about this free speech of America. We're sorry about free speech of America," okay? Then, later in the evening, we have this attack in Libya, an attack that resulted in death. And our president and our secretary of state came out the next day and said this was the result of this video. Now, prior to this, the only protest that we had had was the one in Egypt, which, if you look closely enough, was pre-planned weeks in advance, maybe is, you know, months for all we know. That's up to the, there's people with that knowledge, but the earliest date I heard was August 30th that they knew about this protest. Okay, and it was in response, number one, they wanted the release of the blind sheikh, which, if you will recall, this is what they wanted in Algeria also. And they were in response to the killing of number two, Al-Qaeda, Al-Libi, Al-Libi, okay? So this was not, this protest in Egypt had nothing to do with this video. We find that in Libya, the ambassador, on multiple occasions, he or his staff asked for increased security because they were afraid, and the security was not adequate. And the report even found systematic State Department management leadership failure and gross security lapses, inadequate in security in Benghazi, especially within the Bureau of Diplomatic Security and the Bureau of Near East Affairs. Okay? The Libyan president came right out and said this wasn't an Al-Qaeda attack. The day of, when the attacks were happening, they were watching this in real time, if not watching, listening, and yet the Secretary of State gets up there and says, "I haven't seen the tape yet. I haven't talked to any of the survivors yet." What has she done for her friend, Chris Stevens? And again, I digress, but he was her friend, and yet she didn't question anybody immediately afterwards because she didn't want to interfere with the investigation that hadn't even been ordered yet. Are you getting the point here? And the Democrats are fawning all over her about what a great Secretary of State she has been, and yet systemic gross mismanagement in the Department of State. One day before September 11th, Al-Qaeda chief Ayman al-Zahri posted a 42-minute video on jihadist forums urging Libyans to attack Americans to avenge the death of Abu Yahya al-Libi, the terror organization's second-in-command, whom U.S. drones, thank you, President Obama, killed in June of 2012 in Pakistan. In the video, al-Zahri said, "Al-Libi's blood is calling, urging and inciting you to fight and kill the crusaders," leading up to a date heralded and celebrated by radical Islamists, September 11th. And another version of that video was actually posted on YouTube on September 9th. And yet, on September 12th, when there had not yet been 52 embassies attacked in the United States, our Secretary of State, alongside our president, went out and blamed a video on YouTube that was against the Prophet Muhammad that had been on YouTube, I believe, since June or July. So, if you follow the tracks here, Egypt was not about the YouTube video, neither was Libya. And in fact, then every riot that occurred afterwards, after it was brought to the Muslims' attention by our Secretary of State and our President, in order to cover up the fact, either one, that Al-Qaeda was not dead, or two, whatever mission was going on there in Benghazi, they created terrorist situations against our embassies in 52 countries. I want to know where they got the news about this video. They say it was the intelligence community. I'm not buying it, because that's not what Panetta said. And that's not what the CIA has said. So the question is, who gave them this video excuse? Where did they find this excuse and why? And you know why these are important questions? Because they incited violence against Americans all around the world, including here in America with the protest in Dearborn, Michigan, of the Muslim community against the Americans and the freedom of the First Amendment. And our president went before the United Nations and blamed a video again and actually was rising against our First Amendment rights. Now, people, I don't know about you, and I'm going to leave this to the higher authorities to answer. But there are several questions here. One, what is treason? The offense of attempting to overthrow the government of the state to which the offender owes allegiance? Trying to overthrow our constitutional rights to the freedom of speech and freedom of arms? Or of betraying the state into the hands of a foreign power? Turning our embassies into war zones by bringing out this video that nobody even saw before they brought it out. Okay? You know, that might be a stretch. Loosely, betrayal of trust or confidence, treachery, perfidy. Is it sedition? The raising a commotion in a state not amounting to insurrection, but conduct tending to treason. Is it sedition? Did they incite riots by blaming a video and our First Amendment rights? Did they? That's a question to ask yourself. If nothing else, if it's not treason or it's not sedition, it is gross incompetence, and neither one of them deserves to be in a position of power in this country because they cannot even oversee the life of our ambassador in a very unstable zone when he was begging for help. And that, folks, is my rant on Benghazi tonight. And with that, I am going to bring in Barbara. Hey, Barbara. Barbara? I'm not getting Barbara. If you've got a, you want to call in and add anything to the discussion, you can call us at 718-305-7176. But that is what I have to say about Benghazi, and I would love to hear from some of you of what you're thinking or what your take is on that, because it's got to be one or the other. And we need more information, and I am glad that Congressman Issa has not let this go, because this cannot be let go. We have a murdered ambassador on our hands. And I have a caller calling in at 505. Who do I have at 505?
This is Sue from New Mexico. I just wanted to listen to your show.
Oh, okay.
And I kept getting cut off, but what I heard so far is excellent. Thank you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, Barbara, I got you.
Okay, sorry. I had to redo my... Oh, I've been having computer issues. Anyway, my rant, thank you, and I appreciate all you've said. And
how about before we go to your rant, we do our little break here, because we're coming up on just about 15 after.
Okay, I think we'll this is discombobulated.
And we'll bring in some more, more callers.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation in this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Don't let the liberal media convince you that conservatives like us are the minority. Americans that identify themselves as conservative outnumber liberals 2-1. If you respect American history and traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up, exchange ideas, and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, post your writings, swap ideas, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon.
Real women, real ladies with real smarts. You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. We do conservatism right.
Okay, and we are back live. The number to call is 718-305-7176. And Barbara, you are up to bat.
All righty. There's also that little Skype button on the top there that you can Skype into us as well. And Brenda, thank you for your rant. But I also, have along the same lines, because I'm disgusted, absolutely disgusted with everyone that was at those hearings, the Senate, the committees that were up there. Everybody was doing this little love fest. Oh, Hillary, you're wonderful. Hillary's a liar. She lied on stand under oath, and I want her punished. I am furious. There was four Americans that died in Libya, including the ambassador, as we all know. And the state, we all know again that the State Department refused to send anybody. Now, what I ended up doing right after those hearings was I went back to the first hearings from October, and I listened to them again, where the Deputy Assistant Secretary, Charlene Lamb, testified that they were notified, and she gave it to people above her, and still nothing has been done. Okay, now I'm going to fast forward a little bit more, because we all know this little love fest, how she lied, and it's just got me crazy. Three people, no, maybe four, called her out on her crap.
Barbara, real quick, do you have a TV or something in the background?
My husband does. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, that's better.
Okay. They went off on her. The first hearings in October, October 10th, everybody was still so emotional and angry and wanting answers. They let Hillary go all this time, and they don't have that rage in them anymore, which enraged me, because the little love fest really got me flipping my bird. Which brings me to today, and really actually thrilled me, because I was thinking here.
Barbara? Okay, we've lost Barbara for a minute, so hopefully we'll pick her back up here. She's having a little bit of trouble with her computer tonight. 718-305-7176 is the number to call. We are discussing Benghazi and most recently the Hillary Clinton testifying, if you can call it that. The few questions she got made her angry because she didn't like being questioned. What difference does it make? What difference does it make, Hillary, that you lied to the American people? What difference does it make, Hillary, that your ineptitude as Secretary of State caused the death, murder, possibly rape of Chris Stevens? What difference does it make, Hillary? Why don't you tell us? It makes a huge difference to this country whether you went out and blamed a video and incited riots in 52 countries, because you didn't have the guts to stand up and tell the truth. And, folks, I'm waiting for Barbara to call back in because I did lose her for a minute. If you've got something to say, give us a call, 718-305-7176. You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. In our second half tonight, we are going to have our special guest, Publius Halda, and she's going to be talking about the Constitution. And let me just see who's calling in here. 817, you're on the air.
Brenda, I'm sorry. My call dropped. It's Michael. I'm just listening
okay.
in.
I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And I got Barbara. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I lost my darn connection again.
They were just there to fix it. Apparently, they didn't do a very good job.
My husband just came in and told... Oh, okay. They're
okay,
replacing the wire. But anyway... I don't know how far it was. Anyway, I'll start again. Letter that was signed by House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Ed Royce, House Oversight and Government Reform Darrell Issa, and House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on National Security Chairman Jason Chavez. In those, they have a letter that they sent to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and it basically says that they're not sad. I'm subcommitting because I can't get on my internet now. It said that the Secretary of State's the committee, ARB, did not do their job. They did not address important questions about the attacks in Benghazi. They did not get critical information. And they're doing it again, right at that point. What they're doing is they're demanding that the Secretary of State says, gives over information as soon as possible and no later than February 11th. So that actually made me really happy when I heard that. That was just like, okay, good. This is not getting thrown under the carpet. We are still going to be okay. We're going to be okay. You know, they're going to find out answers because there's no reason for us to not have an answer.
Absolutely.
And this is all unacceptable. Now, in the same breath, of course, we know that President Obama had something to do with this. There, all of a sudden, I don't know how many people know this, but Hillary just paid off her, she had only paid like $1.2 million out of $12 million. Where'd she get all this money to pay automatically, like, pay off her debt, for one thing. So there's little suspicious things going on here. And then President Obama, how he ended up trying to pull a fast one, but it didn't work because, as most of us know, and this has been very quiet, and I get so angry that the media, all medias, everywhere, you know, the radio stations that I listen to, on Twitter, on internet, on everything, they're not mentioning that he acted unconstitutionally. And the court, they said that, well, first they said that the BLS, the people he appointed, had to step down. And now I'm hearing they don't have to step down. So I don't know what's going on over there. But he's another one that has to get punished.
Well,
because this is totally unacceptable.
Definitely a lot of unanswered questions. And it seems that this administration and his employees, our employees actually, have skated around the facts for too long and skated around Congress. And there's definitely things that need to be addressed. And as
Absolutely.
We were talking, you know, impeachment was one of the things I was talking about, and I just had my pocket constitution, and I lost it again. Okay, I want to read you just a little bit here. It's Article 2, Section 4. It says, the president, vice president, all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery. We know he's bribed a lot of people. A lot of crony capitalism going on up there. Somebody needs to take him to court for that. Or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, if the deliberate misleading of American people and inciting riots across the Muslim world is not a reason for impeachment, I don't know what would be.
And then that's what happened there, because nobody in the Muslim world knew about this video until he said something. And that's when all hell broke loose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, you're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. The number to call is 718-305-7176. If you'd like to join in the discussion or have anything you would like to add, we are more than willing to take your calls. We're quickly coming up here on a break, so let's get to that, and we'll be right back.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm gonna live and die in Cowboy Town.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in, don't drive drunk.
And I got a three-letter word for you, as in, get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Okay, and we're back to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. The call-in number is 718-305-716. I'm Brenda Ward, and my co-host is...
Barbara Buffing.
And we are discussing...
And we are...
Oh, no, we're not going that way again. we're discussing Benghazi, and... Also, when we talk about Benghazi, we have to tie into this the foreign policy of the current administration. Because I don't know, Barbara, if you were as puzzled when Hillary said core Al-Qaeda is dead. Did that not puzzle you?
It totally does. It baffles me because we know different. We know different.
It is actually their policy, and I'm posting it in the chat room for everybody to look it up. This was actually presented to Congress from the U.S. Intelligence Committee from James Clapper. Okay, and this is actually their theory on this, is that by taking out the leaders like Osama bin Laden and Al-Awlaki and al-Libi, that there's going to be an increase and spread of these Al-Qaeda groups, but there's not going to be any direct leadership. So even though we're going to have more likely of threats locally in the African community, that it should decrease the threats on the United States And in the long run, yes, we're for the next couple of years, we're going to have to really be on our toes, which is scary when you think about how they couldn't even read the emails. But we got to be on our toes because we got to make sure they don't get nuclear weapons. We don't think that's going to happen in the next year. You need to read this report. It is their foreign policy. It is their belief that by destroying these heads and creating multiple tentacles throughout Africa, and even here in the United States, folks, they're here in the United States. Don't doubt it. Our borders are porous. We have a whole Muslim community just north of here in Dearborn, Michigan, where you don't have your freedom of speech there anymore. And they would like to put in Sharia law. Proliferation. It's on page, I think that's page 3 or 4 of the report, because they know it's going to proliferate. They knew this. They knew this. And this is their foreign policy. It is mind-boggling to me. And we had more drone strikes. We had more drone strikes this past week in Pakistan. I'm just kind of almost speechless.
And the sad thing is the American people think that this administration is wonderful. And I don't know where they're getting their ideas. I don't understand how, first of all, I'm going to go back a few years, back to Bill Clinton. As we know, he had Bin Laden in his hand 3 times and let him go. So, hence, September 11th, 01 happened. And George Bush said, "You punched us in the face one too many times, we're punching back." And now this administration wants to kiss and make up.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
It's in this paper.
It's totally insane. And then we're giving them those F-16s? Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they're
on
the brink of war again in Egypt right now. And we're sending F-16s. And they can't stop it? Yeah.
No. Somebody, I don't remember if it was last night or this morning, I read, and again, I'm sorry, I cannot look it up on the internet. Their nuclear power plant where they have all the uranium was blown up.
Oh, in Iran. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't know if it was an accident or not.
Well, we might never know that, too. But interesting, in this report I posted, Barbara, you're going to want to read this because I was reading it and my jaw is just dropping. This is their plan. Under terrorism, it says, the next 2 to 3 years will be critical transition phase for the terrorist threat facing the United States, particularly from Al-Qaeda and like-minded groups, which we often refer to as the global jihadist movement. And during this transition, we expect leadership of the movement to become more decentralized, with core Al-Qaeda, the Pakistan-based group formerly led by Osama bin Laden, diminishing in operational importance, and regional Al-Qaeda affiliates planning and attempting terrorist attacks. Multiple voices providing inspiration for the movement and more vigorous debate about local versus global agendas. We assess that with continued robust counterterrorism, I'm not sure I believe the robust counterterrorism efforts and extensive cooperation with our allies and partners, there is a better than even chance that decentralization will lead to fragmentation of the movement within a few years. With fragmentation, core Al-Qaeda will likely be of largely symbolic importance to the movement. Regional groups and, to a lesser extent, small cells and individuals will drive the global jihad agenda, both within the United States and abroad. During and after this transition, the movement will continue to be a dangerous transnational force, regardless of the state status of core Al-Qaeda, its affiliates, and its allies. Terrorist groups and individuals sympathetic to the jihadist movement will have access to the recruits, financing, arms, and explosives, and safe havens needed to operate. But they're not going to get more leaders, because they're going to die. And here's the key challenge. A key challenge for the West during this transition. Now, this is Obama's policy. We'll be conducting aggressive counter-terrorist operations while not exacerbating anti-Western global agendas. And now you see why he doesn't stand up for Israel. Now you see why he apologizes for our First Amendment and galvanizing new fronts in the movement. It's all there in writing. That is their foreign policy. And I literally am dumbfounded that they think that this is actually going to work on a group that has been active in terrorism since before the 1700s.
Right, right. And to be allowing them into the White House.
Oh, absolutely.
They're known terrorists in the White House, in our house.
And yes, of the Muslim Brotherhood, because they're connected to terrorists. But supposedly, they're going to make Egypt better. Well, the people in Egypt don't want them. That's why they're rioting in the streets right now, because they know that they're a terrorist group, and they don't want them. So, if you are listening to conservativenationradio.org, it's proud to welcome a former U.S. Navy SEAL, Carl Higby, to the Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch, Thursdays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central. Carl's the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. And I want to tell you, folks, I listened last week, and he even had some people from the Border Patrol, which was some inside information, which was vital to the American people to know. But I guess nobody told these guys in the White House not to mess with the Navy SEALs. Carl Higby is a real patriot who's talked the talk and he's walked the walk. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higby and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Are you struggling with your mortgage payments? Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Oh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
You're listening to Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, The Beauty and the Brain, on conservativenationradio.org. All right, and you're back with Women Patriots. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. You got something to say, just give us a call, and we will take that on air, and you can join this discussion. And tonight, so far, we've been talking about ineptitude of this current administration in regards to foreign policy, and particularly Benghazi, to which we still have many unanswered questions. And here in just about 20 minutes, we are going to be joined live on the air by a constitutional scholar, Publius Halda, and she has her own website, but this woman knows her constitution inside and out. And we're going to be talking about the unconstitutional appointments of President Obama. And this man has done many things that could be considered anti-constitutional because, folks, we have, and purposely, our founding fathers set up three individual distinct branches of government so that they would check one another, so that we would not end up with a dictatorship or a kingdom like they had in England. We have the judicial branch, that's through judges. We have the legislative branch, that is Congress. They make the laws, not the president. The president doesn't get to make the laws. And then you have the executive branch, which is supposed to deal with treaties and with foreign countries. And obviously, his dealings with them of late has left some very big questions in the minds of many Americans. And with that, we're back, and we are talking live. 718-305-7176 to join the discussion. I tell you, Martha,
okay.
Go ahead.
It looks like I have my internet back.
Oh, well, that's
so
good.
I just put in the chat room. I know, right?
Yeah.
The website from the Oversight Committee of what I was just reading earlier. And Sue from New Mexico did bring up a good point. There is rumors about gun running. And
absolutely.
Hillary pled totally stupid. Oh, well,
I know
nothing about that. Turkey.
Yeah, but she's been running all over the world and visiting with all the world leaders there in the Middle East, but she knows nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know nothing. I'm the leader. I'm the Secretary of State. I'm the head of the department, and I know nothing.
And she plays the victim, and these people play into it. Oh, poor Hillary. She's so busy.
Oh, yeah, right.
Please.
Right. I would love to fly around the world and, you know, talk with people and get nothing done, because she doesn't get nothing done. I mean, it's not like we have a lot of respect out there in these countries right now. But and I had it on the tip of my tongue what I was even going to say, and I just lost it just like that. But, her pleading total ignorance, and yet the chatter is out there. So if the chatter is out there, and it was great that Rand Paul kind of brought it up right in her face, because this is the way you have to come at them. You can't be subtle. You've got to put it out there for everybody to see, because we're not going to get any help from the mainstream media. And here in Algeria, some of the weapons, it's reported that some of the weapons in Algeria were actually from Libya, where they took over that oil rig and killed innocent people. And they were also asking for the release of the blind sheik. So now we have two incidents supposedly where they wanted the release of the blind sheik. Congress took this so seriously that they told Obama, you will not release this man. Okay, they took the threat seriously, which tells me that there's some serious chatter going on about the blind sheik.
Absolutely.
And why are our weapons from Libya in Algeria? You know, there are weapons involved here. There are ships involved here. There's Turkey is involved here. And way too many questions. And I'm glad that there are some in Congress willing to keep going. And like John McCain said, where are the witnesses?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Where are they?
She's Secretary of State. She's going to get to the bottom of this. But she did not even call the witnesses the next day. Instead, she went out on national television and said, a video caused this. This is what she did. If she didn't know what caused it, why did she go out and say it was a video?
And she said that they both stood out there and said that it was a terrorist act right after it happened. Lie, because even Candy said it was a lie.
They called it an act. They said we would not tolerate acts of terror. He did not.
And they were talking about September. They were talking about September 11th of 2001 when they were talking about that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They were not talking about this issue.
Not one network said it was terrorism. That word was never used. For 2 weeks, they blamed it on a spontaneous demonstration caused by this video, but supposedly they were waiting on facts. Well, they had. Why'd they come out with that video if they didn't have facts?
Yeah.
You see, they thought they could lie and get away with it, and now they're being questioned. And she says, "What difference does it make? It makes a difference because you lied.
I wanted to go through my. I wanted to go through my computer and punch her." I really did.
It's a good thing that your computer is still alive and well. Well, we do not recommend that you punch your computers.
No, because I would not have gotten her.
No computers have been harmed in the making of this message. So.
Right.
But yeah, I know where you're coming from.
I also put in the chat room the hearings from the Oversight Committee. So in the hearings, you'll see where there's inconsistencies between the two.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is just totally unacceptable.
If you compare the side-by-side testimony of everybody, there's holes bigger than a crater in there. You know, there are holes. And she says she takes responsibility, and yet she did not resign. And then she says she couldn't fire those people because it wasn't considered a big enough crime.
It
wasn't considered
a big enough crime
by who? You know,
she had a contract with them. That's why they're on paid leave. Our tax dollars are paying for these incompetent people. How absurd.
And what were her, I want to know what her guidelines were to her staff on what she thought she needed to know. She didn't think that when an ambassador was in fear for his life, that was information she should know as Secretary of State. You know, and John McCain even said Chris Stevens told him in July he was afraid.
Yeah, yep. And there was actually notes about that too, emails.
Yeah, and you don't think that he told that to Hillary, his good friend, Hillary? Chris was my good friend. You don't think he would have told her?
Right, exactly.
I am not buying it. There are too many holes. If I've got a good friend in the government and I know they can get me help if I need it, I'm going to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you.
Also, there was quite a few Dems that said, oh, well, Congress wouldn't give you the money. This had nothing to do with money. And also, Rand Paul, I just love that man. He really proved himself to me on that being on that committee and asking her the questions. Because he was saying, you have enough money for this and you have enough money for that. And it was all bogus stuff like you put, I don't even know the amount of money they put on the embassy that's never going to be used. Well, why are you putting the money into that when you know you need help here? And you have the guys in Tripoli. Well, they could be there. Get them there.
Oh, yeah. And why are we sending Valerie Jarrett to Martha's Vineyard with a full staff of Secret Service?
Well,
yeah,
why not?
She had a full staff of Secret Service, Valerie Jarrett, who most Americans don't know who she is. Why does she have a full staff of Secret Service? And why does she need them? She's not the president. She's not his wife or his children. I'm sorry. You gave more protection to a woman who has Iranian-born parents than you did to our ambassador in an unstable country. You knew it was unstable. You destabilized it when you killed Gaddafi. You stabilized it. You knew it was going to happen. It's right there in your report to Congress that you were going after Al-Qaeda and they were going to form these little groups. You left a pocket there for them.
Yeah.
And yet, she didn't know. I didn't know. I had no idea. I oversee all these things. Well, I'm sorry. The life of your personnel should be your number one priority. Whether you trust somebody else or not, you should have resigned in shame because on your watch, your friend, Chris Stevens, was murdered on your watch. Whether you knew about it ahead of time or not, it is on you, Hillary Clinton. And that's all. It just aggravates me to death. She's taking responsibility, but when you try to pin it on her, she gets mad and said, well, I didn't know. I didn't know, you know.
It was also stated in the first, Charlene Lamb, she stated that they were watching it from a drone. So they knew everything that was going on live. And then for Hillary to turn around and said, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things. Right.
Yeah. Really, what have
she
you been doing?
She was probably standing there watching it.
What have you been doing for 4 months? You had a concussion. You were laying around doing nothing. Could you not watch the video?
Oh, please
really?
Now. She might have had a headache. Come on now.
Well, I don't care. You know, football players get concussions, and they're on the field the next week because they're, you know, I'm sorry. But you can still watch a video. You know, maybe she could stand to watch him die in real time and know that it was her fault. I don't know. But if you're Secretary of State, you sure should be getting answers to why your State Department failed, not running all over the country into wherever she was going and drinking and doing whatever she was doing, which had nothing to do with Benghazi. She didn't even talk to one witness. I didn't want to interfere with the investigation. What investigation? There was no investigation at the day after. Instead, she came out and blamed it on a video.
Well, one person's still badly injured, and he's at Walter Reed Hospital, I think she said.
Absolutely.
And that was it.
That was it. That was all. Now, I'm going to go ahead and take our break now, because at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Publius Halda, and I hope I'm saying that right. It's a little difficult for me to say. She is a constitutional scholar, and we're going to talk Constitution. And with that, conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques, outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your family with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org. Click on the LifeLock banner.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The audience that gathered today in Las Vegas to listen to President Obama outline his vision of immigration reform clearly liked what they heard. Obama explained that his plan would include a pathway to citizenship for the roughly 11 million illegal immigrants currently living in the U.S.
Today, we have an immigration system that's out of date and badly broken.
The president's plan would also strengthen the nation's border security, streamline its legal immigration system, and crack down on employers who knowingly hire illegal immigrants. A bipartisan group of senators introduced a plan today to raise the cap on visas available to high-skilled immigrants. The plan would grow the number of H-1B visas from 65,000 per year to 115,000. The measure is likely to win the support of Obama, who endorsed the idea of attracting more high-skilled immigrants in his speech today. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And we are back, and the number to call is 718-305-7176. You're listening to the Women Patriots on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Again, that number is 718-305-7176. If you've got something to say, we want to hear you say it right here. And we have just been talking about Benghazi, the debacle that was Benghazi, the foreign policy of this administration, the gross failures on the part of the Secretary of State. Here in just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our very special guest, Publius Halda, constitutional scholar. Because, again, today, even as you heard in that news break, we have this immigration thing running through Congress. Lovely. We're going to give amnesty with the condition that they secure the borders. However, the president has decided that he's going to take just the case and have the amnesty and not secure the borders because he thinks he has the power to do so. Not constitutional, not presidential. So hopefully we'll get our guest to weigh in on that. Barbara, we have some really exciting guest next week that you're all going to want to make sure and tune in for.
Yes, we do. We have the author of Bullies, Ben Shapiro, who's going to come on and talk to us about how the left is bullying America, not just the Republicans, America as a whole. And they there's a lot of people that don't see it, but there's a lot of us that do. And we're calling them out on it, and we need to get this picked up by the media. And Ben Shapiro is one of the people who are definitely doing that, and I'm really excited for bringing him on. And mm-hmm. he will be on at 6:30. We'll have him for half an hour. He'll be over. So I'm really excited about that. And you also have a guest coming on, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, we do. We have in the second hour, we have Monica Boyer coming on, and she also has a book out, Battle on the... No, it's not Battle on the Home Front, and I lost what it was off the top of my head. But she's a mother and an activist here in Indiana, and she has a book out. So she will be coming on in the 7 o'clock hour. So we have two great authors, two great conservatives coming on next week to talk to us about how we can be involved. And, you know, he doesn't just have that book, Bullies. I am reading his book on Hollywood. And it has kind of ruined some of my favorite shows for me, knowing that the left deliberately put little things into those. And I'm just kind of anxious also to talk about that with him, because he kind of has a little bit of a Hollywood insider look at these things, and had access to a lot of these liberal producers and writers and things in this book. And it's really, it's been an eye-opener for me. So I'm really looking forward to Ben Shapiro sharing with us. Now, was Publius going to call us, Barbara?
Yes. She actually messaged me earlier today that they were having bad weather. Ooh. And she may have a problem calling, because she lives in a rural wooded area.
Okay.
And she's in a valley where she wouldn't get cell phone service. So she's got to drive to find a place where she could use her cell phone. So I'm hoping that she's going to call real soon.
Okay. Yeah, I used to do that. My daughter lives down in Tennessee, and she's in a little town called Dixon, so she gets cell service. But she was living in the country, and you would have to, like, either go over to the one wall on the house and, you know, like, put your arm in the air, like a, you know, and you got your neck twisted, and or you'd have to go out and on top of the hill to get any cell phone service when you were there.
Right, yeah, stand on your head and...
stick your foot in the air and do all the, you know, these tricks just to get cell phone service out in some of those places in the country. We have great technology, but it's not quite there yet for some of the more rural areas. You know, with the trees and all those things interfering. So we have been talking about Benghazi. If you want to call in, the number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And we should not rest until somebody actually pays for this murder and pays.
And the,
go ahead.
One of the reason I had asked Publius to come on our show tonight is because last Friday, when they said that the courts had said that Obama was wrong and he acted unconstitutionally, I thought of her. And, you know, here we have a V for victory, and somehow, you know, like I was saying earlier in my rant, you know, it's all being swept under the carpet. He is a criminal, and he needs to be treated like one. But back,
and we do have a caller.
Here she is.
Okay.
Go
ahead and bring her on. Let's bring her on.
Hold on. Publius.
Yes. Hi, Barbara.
Hello, hon. You're live on the air.
I am.
You are.
Okay.
And I'm Barbara, and we have Brenda.
Hi.
Brenda.
How are you?
I am well, thank you.
How's that storm doing?
It bypassed us.
Oh, good. Well, great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I just wanted to make sure that 7 o'clock, if we did have a storm and our lines were out, I just didn't want 7 o'clock to come and I hadn't called in and you'd say, well, that Publius Hulda stood us up.
No, I appreciate that. I was just saying that. That's and I was basically starting to introduce you and saying why I have asked you. You came right to my mind after last week when President Obama lost, the Federal Appeals Court issued a unanimous decision that his appointments to the National Labor Relations Board were unconstitutional.
Right.
And I thought of you, and you had sent me the article that you had written back in 2011.
Yes.
And I was reading it, and it nowhere anywhere has anybody, everybody has said that, it was unconstitutional, but they never got into the depth as you did in this article, where in the Federalist Papers that the Congress had already had to have been adjourned.
Correct.
When that position was vacant.
Yes.
So could you elaborate on that for us?
Sure. The decision of the D.C. Circuit was extremely encouraging because the first time in a very long time a federal court actually relied upon the Federalist Papers as authority. Now, I'm going to tell your listeners how I wrote that paper. I'm going to show the process of researching a constitutional point. I'm going to take you through the steps I went through. And you will see that the decision I came to is exactly the same as the decision the court came to last week, because we both relied on the Federalist Papers as authority. So I'll walk you through it. First of all, most of what we hear and read about the Constitution is not true. People just repeat what they've heard other people say, and nobody ever looks it up. But I will show you how easy it is to look up things in the Constitution, and I'll use recess appointments to illustrate. So first, what does our Constitution say about presidential appointments? Well, Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 says the president makes the nominations with the advice and consent of the Senate. So the plan set up in the Constitution is that the president nominates, the Senate confirms or rejects the nomination. So it is a shared power. This is the check our Constitution imposes on the president's nominating power. And the purpose, of course, is to protect us from the bad characters presidents might nominate. Now, let's see what the Constitution says about recess appointments. As you know, Congress isn't in session year-round. They have 2 sessions per year. Well, what if an important officer is killed when Congress is in the recess? So Article 2, Section 2, Clause 3 provides for this. It says, quote, the president shall have power to fill up all vacancies that may happen during the recess of the Senate by granting commissions which shall expire at the end of their next session. So, the Constitution clearly says the vacancy must have happened when the Senate was in its recess. So the President cannot lawfully circumvent the Senate's constitutionally granted power to reject his nomination by using cute gimmicks or by waiting until Congress is in recess to, quote, recess appoint, end quote, someone to fill a vacancy which occurred while the Senate was in session. Now, you should always check things out in the Federalist Papers because they are authoritative on the genuine meaning of our Constitution. So you always want to know what they say about any clause in the Constitution. Now, this is not difficult. I use an online edition which has a searchable text. Now, I'm going to show you something which is really cool, and you'll see why it's cool. If you type in recess in the search box, you get hits for the Federalist Papers which use that term. So when I wrote my paper on recess appointments over a year ago, the hits I got for recess were Federalist Papers number 76 and 67. They were both written by Alexander Hamilton. In number 76, Hamilton explains why our Constitution requires the President's nomination to be submitted to the Senate for their approval or disapproval. It is, quote, to prevent the appointment of unfit characters, end quote. And in Federalist number 67, Hamilton explains the purpose of Article 2, Section 2, Clause 3 about recess appointments. He says, in the normal course of events, the President and the Senate share the power of appointments. But if a vacancy in an office occurs while the Senate is in its recess, the President may make a temporary appointment. So, Article 2, Section 2, Clause 3 means what it says. Before a President may make a recess appointment, the vacancy must have happened while the Senate was in recess. So the Constitution says that, and the Federalist Papers say that. So, to sum it up, the constitutional scheme is this. The Constitution requires the President to submit his nominations to the Senate for their approval. Only if a vacancy occurs while the Senate is in the recess may the President make a temporary appointment. Now, this is the cool part. If you had looked up recess in the Federalist Papers and read the two papers about recess appointments by Alexander Hamilton, you would have found the same two Federalist Papers the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals cited as authority in their opinion released last week when they found that Obama's recess appointments violated the Constitution. Now, isn't that cool?
That is actually pretty awesome.
It is.
That is very awesome.
And yeah. Can you tell us now, what happens from here? Since they found those appointments unconstitutional, do those persons need to resign?
Their appointments were unconstitutional, so they're out of a job.
Okay.
But the nuts and bolts, the practicalities of it, I don't know how Congress is going to handle it, but I don't know if they're going to make these guys give up their pay because they weren't entitled to it. You know, I don't know. But the important thing is that learning the original intent of our Constitution is not difficult. You can do it. Most of the questions which come up are this easy to research. And, you know, the Constitution is very, very thin, very, very skinny. There's not much to it lengthwise. go through it with three highlighters, color code with one color, the power is delegated to Congress, with another color, the power is delegated to the president, with a third color, the power is delegated to the judicial branch, and you will have a very good idea of what they're legally authorized to do.
Right. Now, I had heard in the beginning that anything they put in place is null and void, and that these people do not have a job over at BLS anymore. But then in the next breath, I'm hearing that they have not yet stepped down. So I, right now, at this moment, do not know if these people are still in office.
Yeah, I don't know either. I focus on constitutional issues and not, the nuts and bolts of when those guys are going to leave office. I just don't know when they're leaving. I read the D.C. Circuit's opinion yesterday. Well, I skimmed over it. It's 47 pages long. I don't know mechanically how they're going to handle this, but the important thing is that for the first time in a very long time, we have three federal judges who actually applied the original intent of the Constitution, who actually obeyed the Constitution and cited the Federalist Papers as authority, and that is really awesome.
Exciting in this day and time when people are trying to discredit the Constitution and our founding fathers, and it really is a great document.
Yeah.
If you abide by it, if you listen to what they had to say.
Right. Now, something's been on my mind too, and I'm hoping that you can answer this for me. I had heard that they were going to bring this to a higher court to have it overturned.
They very well may. The D.C. Circuit, the next highest appellate court, would be the Supreme Court. And, of course, we know that they are lawless. They unlawfully found Obamacare to be constitutional. The five judges who upheld Obamacare obviously have no respect for the Constitution, have absolutely total contempt for us, so they may very well just spit on the Constitution again, spit on the Federalist Papers again, spit on us again, and uphold Obama's phony, quote, recess appointment. They may. Who knows?
I hope not, but it's very...
No, I hope not, too, but
they don't
what
follow
if anything...
Law.
Right. So what,
they,
if
they
anything,
do what they
can
want.
We do? So we, there would be absolutely... If they say it's overturned, all is good, then there's absolutely nothing that anybody can do, not Congress, not us, not anybody?
Well, of course Congress could, but Congress doesn't have the guts to do it. Congress has the impeachment power. Congress could get rid of Obama in a matter of, a few weeks by impeaching him. And the Federalist Papers, again, are very clear that a president may and should be impeached for usurpations of power. Federalist Paper number 66 at the second paragraph and number 77 at the last paragraph. Our framers wanted to give us a way to get rid of presidents who violated the law, but our Congress doesn't have the guts to do it. They don't respect the Constitution enough to impeach him, but that would be the proper way to get rid of him.
Okay,
right.
Well, we just take a quick break here, and if you can stay with us, we'll see if anybody has any questions. I do have a question or two for you, so if you don't mind.
No, I can stay.
Great. So what do you get when you take a Catholic and you put him together with a Marine? You get the Catholic warrior, and we have our very own Catholic Warrior with the Catholic Warrior Show here on conservativenationradio.org with Chris Ricketts on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central. Be sure and tune in. You don't want to miss it.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
And you're back, and you're listening to Women Patriots. Our number is 718-305-7176. We are talking to, and how do you say your first name? Is it Publius?
Publius Hulda.
Publius. And yes. She is a constitutional expert, and I want her actually to expound.
A lawyer.
Yeah. Lawyer even. Okay, so to expound on the unconstitutionality of Obamacare.
Oh, you want me to talk about Obamacare? The powers of Congress are enumerated. Article 1, Section 8. That lists everything that Congress is authorized to make laws about for the country at large. Now, I offer a $5,000 reward to anybody who can look at Article 1, Section 8 and point to me where Congress was delegated authority to make laws taking over our medical care. It is there. They don't have lawful authority to do it. They usurp the power.
And see, they'll use the common good to try to get around
that. The general welfare clause is one of the three clauses which has been abused by the federal courts in order to justify anything that the federal government wants to do. But getting back again to the Federalist Papers, in Federalist Paper number 41, in the last four paragraphs, James Madison, who is the father of our Constitution, explained the original intent of the General Welfare Clause, and it is simply this. If you look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, it talks about the Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, impost, excises, to pay the debts, and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. Then follows a list of the enumerated powers. So Madison explains in Federalist Paper number 41, last four paragraphs, that Clause 1 is a statement of general purposes, which is immediately followed by an enumeration of particular powers which limit the general expression. Do you understand?
Yes.
Madison writes in 17th century style, but basically Clause 1 is the general statement and Clauses 2 through 16 are the examples, that the limitations on how the general welfare clause can be exercised.
Wow.
If you go
is amazing.
To my website and look under General Welfare Clause under my categories, I have a paper on this where I explain Obamacare and why the General Welfare Clause does not authorize Obamacare.
And actually, wouldn't you consider that legislating from the bench when Roberts actually changed it from a mandate to a tax?
Yes. Yes, his opinion is an utter disgrace. Again, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 does empower Congress to lay taxes, but they can't lay taxes for any purpose whatsoever. they can lay taxes in order to fund their enumerated powers. In other words, you know, have a mint, to establish post offices, to have a patent and copyright office, to set up federal courts, to run the military. Those are the enumerated powers, and in order to fund those enumerated powers, Congress was given the power to tax.
Mm. Wow. And go ahead.
John Roberts' opinion is really, it's a disgrace.
Well, I also thought that, and these were my own thoughts, was that he said it was a tax so that Congress can defund it. Because the House has the purse strings.
Well, yes, the House does have the purse strings. They haven't exercised them. But the basic problem with his decision is that he was the fifth vote upholding mm-hmm. Obamacare, which is a completely unconstitutional, complete and total takeover of our medical care. And Congress
right.
has no authority to do that.
Right. Wow. Well, we do have a caller on the phone, and Sue has a question for you, Sue from New Mexico. So
okay.
I'm going to bring her on.
And then we have Michael also has a question. So.
Okay.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. Great show. I have two questions, actually. Can Supreme Court justices be impeached?
Yes.
And also, if Obama is ever impeached, will his appointees be null and void?
Okay. About impeaching Supreme Court justices, yes. Any federal judge can be impeached. And in Federalist Paper number 81 at the ninth paragraph, Alexander Hamilton talks about impeaching federal judges. And he says, when they usurp powers, Congress may impeach them and remove them from the bench. And the second thing you said about impeaching Obama, would his appointments be valid?
Yes, that was her question.
Just impeaching Obama for usurpations would not nullify his past actions while in office.
But they
okay.
can be replaced, correct?
Pardon?
But they can be replaced.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
They can be replaced
by his
appointees, yes.
Oh, yes. His successor could fire the whole sorry lot of them.
Okay, that's what I thought, but
yeah.
I wanted to clarify.
Okay,
thank you,
Sue, for those very excellent questions, and because I'm sure
yeah,
we're all
good
interested
one.
In that.
Remember, Federalist Paper number 81, eighth paragraph, federal judges should be impeached when they usurp powers.
Okay, well, let's bring Michael on now and see what he's got for us. Michael, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, ladies? Can you hear me? My phone's kind of acting weird.
Yes, I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah,
First off, I want to say great show, ladies. It's hard to find conservative ideology being promoted on BTR, so to you know see your show is absolutely refreshing. I've got a question for you, real quick though. I was just wondering, wouldn't it be more productive if you're in the kitchen making me a fucking sandwich, you cunt? You know.
Excuse me.
Sorry about that. We do get trolls now and then, and
they don't have a reasonable
argument.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry about that.
I am so sorry.
You had to be exposed
that's
okay. to
that.
Yeah,
listen,
it just proves that we're doing what we need to be doing out here
mm-hmm.
when we get those kind of calls. But So,
I
have a question because this has come up with several of the potential candidates for 2016 on the natural born citizen.
Yes.
There's people out there saying that both parents have to be American citizens for them to be considered natural born. Can you tell us from your knowledge and your research what that actually means, the natural born?
Sure. I have a paper on my website on this issue about natural born citizens. It is an important paper, and this is something of a complex issue. You can find it, just Google Publius Hulda plus Vattel and natural born citizen. I lay out the principles which our framers followed when they drafted that clause of the Constitution which requires the president to be a natural born citizen. Basically, at the time, in order to be a natural born citizen, you have to be born of citizens. A child takes the citizenship of his parents. So if, for example, you and your husband are U.S. citizens and have a child, your child succeeds to the same citizenship that you have. Since you're U.S. citizens, your child is born a U.S. citizen. So your child is a natural-born citizen. So Obama, for example, his putative father, we're not really sure who his father is. I've heard rumors that Frank Marshall Davis was his father. But if Barack Obama Sr. was his father, then at the time Obama was born, his father, being a Kenyan, was a subject of the British crown. And so Obama is not a natural-born citizen because his father was not a citizen at the time he was born. But if you go to my website and look under my categories, look under Vattel, V-A-T-T-E-L, and you'll find my paper on natural-born citizen. This will explain the whole thing, and I cite all the authorities, so you really can take what I say to the bank.
Okay. So let me just throw this out there, because some of the one of the names that comes out sometimes for 2016 is Marco Rubio.
Right. I addressed that in my paper. It's my understanding that at the time Marco Rubio was born, his parents were not U.S. citizens, but were resident. So when Marco Rubio was born, he succeeded to the citizenship of his parents, and they were not U.S. citizens, so he would not be a natural-born citizen. And this is very, very important. Our framers wanted our presidents to have their total allegiance to this country. No dual citizenship, no split loyalties, but American all the way. That's why they put that natural-born citizenship clause in the Constitution.
Absolutely. And you know, it gets a little more complicated in our day and time because we do have these people who are actually born here, but, you know, their parents not necessarily had citizenship when they were born here.
Any child born in this country of parents who are not citizens, for example, the Mexican anchor babies, even though they're born here, they are not born as U.S. citizens. Their citizenship takes the status of their parents.
Okay.
So the Mexicans, the French ambassador's wife, if she gives birth in the United States, her allegiance and her husband's allegiance is to France, not the United States. So their child is born a French citizen, not a U.S. citizen, even though the child was born here. The citizenship of the parents is always the key issue.
Okay, so if the parent, now I'm going to throw another one at you, if the parent actually became a naturalized citizen before the birth of the child and one was an American citizen, is that a natural born citizen?
If the parent is a citizen, whether natural born or by naturalization. When the baby is born, the baby is a natural born citizen. All
okay.
that's required is that when you're born, your parents are citizens.
Okay, that's great. I'm going to take another quick break. And
okay.
then we looks like we have a caller here for you. We'll try another caller if
okay.
you've got a few more minutes to spare us.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. We'll just take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear. We were about to head home after a bonfire, and Smokey said the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
Let me try.
Okay. Just remember what I showed you.
Yep. There was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Women Patriots with Brenda Ward on conservativenationradio.org.
Okay, and you are listening to Women Patriots with Barb and Brenda. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176, and we're going to attempt another caller. We do have trolls on board tonight, so just be aware. And we're going to bring in John here.
Hi, John, how you doing?
Hello, John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. How are you girls tonight?
Doing
good,
pretty
John.
Well.
I wanted to ask some questions about gun control.
Okay.
I have gotten a chance to read Dianne Feinstein's proposed bill in reference to gun control. Have you read that?
No, I haven't. I've read the Constitution. That's better.
It's an atrocity. You know, there's nothing good in it except for just one stipulation that she put in there that I can agree with, you know. But first let me tell you about the militia we've organized. It's called the Bill Wagoner Militia. And basically what we're going to do is, you know, fight for our rights. If it comes down to it and these measures are passed, we've been organizing a militia here in Las Vegas. And right now we're about 15,000 members strong. And, I know it's not a lot of people, but, you know, I think that would be a pretty good force. And we've been holding meetings and stuff like that. And, you know, I think we're going to be a formidable opponent. But the one thing about Feinstein's bill, the only thing that was good, I don't know if you had seen it. It was like, I think it was paragraph 28, subsection B, where she stated that no woman should own a gun. And, you know, I kind of agree with that one.
Oh, thank you, John.
Thanks,
that's really nice.
Okay.
So when we're protecting, when
we're talking Constitution.
let's look at principles. First of all, you need to understand that our Constitution is one of enumerated powers only. When we the people ratified the Constitution, we created the federal government. And when we created the federal government, we listed, enumerated every single power we were delegating to the federal government. Read the Constitution, read especially Article 1, Section 8, which is where we listed the powers we were delegating to Congress. We never gave Congress or the executive branch authority to restrict guns or ammunition in any fashion whatsoever. Every law made by Congress which purports to restrict our guns or ammunition is unconstitutional as outside the scope of the powers delegated to Congress in the Constitution. Every single rule made by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is unconstitutional as outside the authority as outside the powers we delegated to the executive branch in the Constitution. Furthermore, Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution says that all legislative powers are vested in Congress. That means that no executive agency has constitutional authority to make any rules on any subject of general application. So the bottom line and the thing that all of you need to know is that nowhere in the Constitution is the federal government granted authority to regulate or restrict guns and ammunition. That's what everybody needs to know. Second point, about an armed militia, you have to understand, this is very important. James Madison, the father of our Constitution, wrote in Federalist Paper number 46, the second half. Madison explained why the American people are armed and why they need to be armed. It is so that the American people can defend themselves, their families, their neighbors, their community, their cities, their towns, their counties, and their states from an overreaching, tyrannical federal government. This is not me, Publius Huldus, talking. This is James Madison talking. So,
absolutely. And people who don't think James, we...
On Feinstein's bill, don't read it. Don't bother with it. They have right. no authority to do that, to make any laws about gun control. Excuse me. I get excited about this.
Well, no, that's a good thing to be excited about. So do we.
Yeah.
So, and
I share your passion.
Oh,
I really do.
What is bad is that people, they don't realize that history will repeat itself. They think that we can trust the government. And
no,
these people that do are in for a big surprise and a big awakening.
Yeah.
And the government purchasing all this ammo?
Yes, yes.
Is that for the guns that they lost to you?
Billions of rounds of hollow points.
To the Mexican cartel?
Pardon?
I was wondering if the government was buying all this ammo that they've been purchasing, if they were going to give that to the drug cartel that has the guns.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean,
I have
that's
my
how
fears as to what they have in mind.
Exactly. Me too.
Yeah.
I just know I don't trust them.
Well, you shouldn't.
And I'm a trusting person, and I don't trust them.
Oh, no, well, you cannot trust them. They have usurped powers. They're turning us into a tyranny.
Anytime
you concentrate power in one place and money in one place, you have the potential for that kind of misbehavior. And
well,
I think actually, go ahead, because I actually think you can speak to this constitutionally and in the Federalist Papers. I mean, they weren't meant to spend all their time in Washington.
Well, the powers, if you will look at Article 1, Section 8, and read what Congress has authority to do. Basically, the powers that we delegated to Congress to handle for the country at large are these. One, international trade and commerce and war. Two,
mm-hmm.
to control immigration and naturalization of new citizens. Three, to establish a uniform commercial system, weights and measures, patents and copyrights, a monetary system based on gold and silver, a bankruptcy courts, mail delivery, and some road building. Four, some of the amendments give Congress the power to protect certain civil rights and the voting rights of blacks, women, people who don't pay taxes and citizens who don't pay taxes and citizens 18 years of age of older. That is all Congress has the lawful authority to do for the country at large. Their powers are extremely limited. What
mm-hmm.
happened was that during the early 1900s, the progressives took over philosophically, and they saw that the purpose of government was
They said it was to provide for all of our needs and to protect us from all the problems of life. So in order to do these things, they had to have total power. So they said that instead of going by the enumerated powers in the Constitution, which are as limited as I said, they said that the federal government could do whatever it needed to do in order to do, in order to carry out whatever they wanted to carry out. In other words, they said, we can do whatever we want. And that's mm-hmm. been their attitude for the last 100 years.
And that's why they want to get rid of that law professor wanting radically change the Constitution.
Yes,
that's
is
absurd.
That Michael,
because
Michael Side.
I don't remember
his name.
Yes, but,
there are many
people, that is absurd.
Yes. They hate the Constitution. Our Constitution was a 5,000-year miracle, and they hate it.
Yeah,
right.
Because it limits them. It limits the greedy people and the people that want absolute power.
Yes.
So, because it is there to protect us, we, the people, from those who would not treat us well. So,
right.
But you're right. I'm so glad you joined us tonight. If anybody has any more questions, relevant questions, 718-305-7176 is the number to call in. We've had some great answers tonight. As far, I have read my Constitution. I have not read all the Federalist Papers, but it's good to know that you can cross-reference on the Internet for whatever we're looking at, because that will be a great tool to use. So, but yes, you did. Go ahead, Barbara.
I actually, not long ago, did the Hillsdale College. They had the Constitution online, and I've gotten like 3/4 through the second part of it, but I've been so preoccupied. But the first part was so general, in a sense where it goes a little more into depth what the meaning is, and their lectures, it just amazed me more and more about how much is in the Constitution, because you had said earlier that, you know, people repeat what they don't actually know the meaning of it.
Right.
And I was learning the meaning of it not long ago, and you know, I'm fascinated by it because I do actually have it on my desktop, on my laptop, and I even carry around my little pocket one just in case somebody says something to me. I haven't had to do that yet, but I have it with me where I could say, okay, where in the Constitution does it say that? Because for me, and I know for a lot of people listening, it is such an important document. And as we can see right now, when these laws get broken, insanity happens. People are just, you don't know even what laws to follow because the government's not following the laws.
I know. We're in chaos now, and we're headed towards even worse chaos.
Right. Chaos was the word I was looking for.
Yes.
But, yes, it's so I'm glad to know what I have learned, and I still want to continue to learn more, so I do have to finish that other part. But with the Federalist Papers that the site that you had given for that, this is going to go on my laptop and my desktop, too.
Yeah.
So if I have a question for myself or somebody else asks me a question, I can go ahead and look it right up at my fingertips.
Because,
of course.
Yeah, even though I know the Federalist Papers very well, when I write my papers, I still look things up, you know, just so I don't get lazy or sloppy. To me, it's second nature now.
but we have to constantly refer to the Federalist Papers. Also, on my website, I have an Ask Questions page, so anybody can always ask a question about the Constitution on my website.
And what is your website?
Just Google Publius Hulda, and you'll find it.
Okay, I did that, and when I did it, a whole bunch of things come up.
I dropped it in the chat. I dropped it in the chat, Barbara.
Okay,
it's
thanks.
Because I dropped
it in the chat about Obamacare.
But you can look it up. It's on the WordPress.com, and I've been there a couple times already before the show. But we really want to thank you for giving your time to us this evening, and we may want to have you back sometime soon because there are just so many people that are not informed. And so many of us, you know, we know some, but we haven't done our research like you obviously have and spent the time with that. So I really appreciate your being on tonight and taking time.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So, Barbara, you got anything else you want to say before we...
I can't thank you enough for doing this on pretty short notice.
But
like I said, I thought of you right away when that ruling came out on Friday.
Yes.
So I figured, okay, I was going to message you, and the worst you were going to do is say no. But I am so honored that you said yes, because you have given more clearer of a picture of really going to the Federalist Papers more so than just in the Constitution. And I just can't thank you enough, and I appreciate it so much.
Well, you're so welcome, Barbara and Brendan. It was my pleasure, and anytime I'll be happy to come again.
Okay.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. And let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative or you're a troll, but you're listening anyway. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want to supply Depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here on conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner, and that will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag, proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, real conservatism for real conservatives.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear. We were about to head home after a bonfire, and Smokey said the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like...
Hey, liberals. Why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Okay, well, we want to thank everybody that tuned in tonight. Man, I learned a lot, Barbara.
Me too.
Very informative, and now I'll be able to cross-reference with the Federalist Papers to actually confirm what we've already known about the unconstitutionality of some of the acts of this current administration, you know, and now we'll have answers for, there's a lot of people out there, you know, arguing constitutionality of the, you know, 2016 crop of presidential candidates. So, that kind of gives us a good place to start, you know. Not that it's necessarily going to make a difference, but at least we can argue it from the constitutional perspective.
Right, right. Because having the facts, somebody had put in the chat room, which is absolutely true. Knowledge is power. You know,
absolutely.
And if you're quoting things out of the Federalist paper or out of the Constitution, and you know, who's going to tell you, they can try to tell you you're lying, that's not true, and that's not what it says, but say, hey, you know, this is what it says. So somebody else's perception of what the actual words stated are is their problem, not mine.
Right. Absolutely. And so hopefully we can make sense to people. Because that's, you know, when they're talking, people like, this is what you're hearing, Marco Rubio and Bobby Jindal and people like that. And even some people will say Rick Santorum's not eligible, except that his mother already came out with the papers that showed his father was a naturalized citizen before he was born. And so that would make him a natural born citizen. But there's a lot of questions and a lot of people out there, you know, questioning the constitutionality or the natural born citizenship of many of the candidates. And that is not something we need to go into in the next upcoming election. We need a candidate that everybody can agree on and be comfortable with. So we'll kind of see how that plays out. But I was really glad to get an answer to that question. So
that's a great question.
If you missed the part about who our guest is going to be next week, Barbara, tell them who we got coming.
We have author, and he's actually editor-at-large, Ben Shapiro, and he's editor-at-large at Breitbart.com. And I'm really excited to have him on. His newest book, Bullies, really tells you a lot about the media and how the media is bullying, and the president is bullying the people. So if you haven't gotten that book, go to Amazon.com and go ahead and pick up the book, because it's a really good one. And we're also going to have, I have a book to give away as well. So
you're not going to want to miss that, because you're going
you're
to be
not.
Able to get a book. And we're also going to have Monica Boyer, who is a mom and an activist here in Indiana, who also has a book out. And we'll learn more about that next week when she is on our show with us. So two great authors, two great conservatives coming on the show next week to talk a little bit more about the left and the bullies. And I'm going to ask Ben about the Hollywood book, because I'm telling you, people, my eyes are being opened. Some of my favorite shows had subliminal messaging in them, and I'm just like sick. It's like, oh no, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. But you know, when he brings it up, it's like, oh yeah, I see that now. So
yeah, it was funny. My brother was watching a rerun of All in the Family last night, and he put up in Facebook one of the little trailers, I guess, you know, like an 8-minute part of the show going on about gun control. And Archie is trying to fight for the Constitution. And Meathead is saying, oh, no, that's not what it's for, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so my brother, even when he posted that, he said, even things like this were going on that long ago.
Oh yeah. So and they were definitely liberal writers. They were definitely liberal writers behind that show, and they were trying to make the conservatives out to be crazy nut people like Archie.
Yeah, exactly.
And I found
still
it very entertaining. Yeah.
Which I'm sure is something similar in Hollywood book. Because I have not read that one.
Yeah, it talks about the writers and their intent behind the shows, and even shows like Bewitched, how they kind of belittled the husband.
Yes.
And that was intentional.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, you know, and I'm just reading through this all and just going, wow, you know, I'm looking at television in a whole new light now. I always thought the television was, you know, somewhat pervasive and pushing the liberal viewpoint. And there's some very interesting things in the book, like, you know, if you're living in Hollywood, California, they don't think they're pushing the liberal viewpoint because of the way they live there. But for us in the Midwest, yeah, you're pushing the liberal viewpoint, and they kind of infiltrate your minds, which is something that I've always thought they did in television. And now he's actually confirming my beliefs, and actually some of my very own special shows. I mean, I never missed a Bewitched episode. But, you know,
and actually, they did a lot of that on the soap operas, because I used to watch General Hospital all the time.
Oh, yeah. Soap operas were very, very big about that. So tomorrow night on Conservative Nation Radio, we have our very own Catholic warrior with former Marine, Chris Ricketts. And so you'll want to be sure and tune in tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern to hear what Chris has got to say. We have programming almost every night here on conservativenationradio.org. On Sunday, we have two Southern gentlemen, a Texan and a Tennessean. And so you'll get some sweet talking maybe from the boys from the South. If not, you get to listen to their accents. And that's on Soldiers of Patriotism, which airs here on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central Time with Michael B. and Uncle Bean, our two Southern gentlemen.
Right, and this Sunday they will not be airing.
Oh, that's right, because of the Super Bowl.
Sunday.
The Super Bowl is this Sunday, so they decided they did not want to try to compete with that. But the following Sunday they will be back, and we will be back here next week, same time, same place. Ben Shapiro and Monica Boyer. We're going to take it out with a song. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank all of you for listening. Thank everybody for calling in, and especially thank Publius Hubla for, and I didn't get that right. I'm sorry. I apologize for being with us tonight as our guest.
Oh, thank you all for being here.
Give you the world, but he's gonna leave you crying with your heart in the dirt. And that's my dream. no good for you. You better get to getting on your goodbye shoes.